Welcome to this very special episode of Beyond the Bedroom, where we're taking a deep dive into a pretty topical little topic. You've probably heard people talking about it. You've seen it everywhere online. You've definitely had a Netflix ad for it. Maybe you're binge watching. Maybe you're watching as your partner watches, pretending not to be into it, but you know you're secretly into it. We are talking about Love is Blind. So here with me today, I have a friend who's equally as love, hate, obsessed perhaps with this show. I have Saya. Hi.
Hi.
We have a very fun relationship with the show because we have the experience of being sex educators, coach, etc. And it's fun to be able to see people grapple with some of the topics that we see every day.
It is so much fun.
And we have a lot to say about this season.
Oh, yes, we do.
Have you been watching from the first season?
Hell yeah. I mean, it is such good TV. I don't get it when people are like, no, I don't do reality TV
or
never gotten into the Love is Blind. I love it.
No, it is honestly, it's something that I never watched The Bachelor.
Me neither.
And I don't know why this show had such a grip on me from the beginning.
I think for me, it is because it's also like a social experiment.
Yeah.
And that aspect is so intriguing. Like, oh, is love really blind?
Mm-hmm.
How far into the process are you blinded?
Right.
You know?
And like, there's a lot to unpack with it. I did not watch last season.
Okay.
I skipped out, but I've watched the others. And this season, I came back around. This season is the sixth season. It premiered on Valentine's Day, and the last episodes, I believe, come out on March 6th. So we're watching up until like the last drop. So when you're listening to this, don't worry. There's no spoilers for the last two episodes. If you haven't watched them already, don't worry. We have stopped right up until like the weddings.
So yes.
At this moment in time, we don't know who's getting married. We don't know who's saying yes or no.
No one has gotten married yet.
Exactly. It's all TBD. And if you haven't watched the show and you have no intention of watching the show, you might still like this episode because we're talking about some pretty broad topics.
Mm-hmm.
Are these red flags? Does this count as cheating? We're going to lay it out for you. So the cast right now is really interesting. And for those of you, just a little quick recap about this show. It's these people that are cast by Netflix. They start out like, I don't know how many, like 20 and 20 or something, guys and girls.
Yeah, I think so. 20 or 30.
Yeah. And then they get into these rooms called the pods.
The pods.
And they can't see the other person. And they have
separated by a wall.
Yeah. And they have to talk through this wall,
which
it sounds like a glory hole situation. It's not. It's like they're completely like there's no like they can't see each other at all.
Right.
It's like
there's
it's more
no
like,
holds.
Yeah, there's no holds. It's not like confession booth. Like they're just mic'd up and they ask questions. They get to know each other and they start to make these connections. We see people go into the show either like super open minded, like I'm just here to see what happens. Or
here for the experience.
Right. Or I'm here to leave with my husband.
Yeah. They're on a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that a lot this season with Jess.
For sure.
Who is single mom.
Yeah.
Had a baby at like 18. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out with her partner.
Young single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she had her mic drop moment.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, she was somebody that I was really rooting for in the pods a little bit.
Yeah.
But here we see it's like she was super direct. And she's like, you need to tell me where I have you. And it was with Jimmy, who just is like the least direct person. And he's just like silent for some of it. Like, it's just so interesting.
Yeah. I feel like he's not in touch with his emotions. Although what he says a lot of times sounds like he is. So a lot of times what he's saying sounds like he's really connected to his emotional side, but when it comes down to it, he's like, or maybe he just takes a lot of time to process his feelings and emotions.
But
he was definitely not able to show up for Jess as a man she needed and a man she wants to.
Right. But the funny thing is about Jimmy is that I thought he would be like an awful communicator.
Yeah.
But now with Chelsea, I'm seeing that he's actually a great communicator.
He communicates really well.
And
that's what's interesting, to see how people end up being paired up. Because one version of Jimmy with Jess, you know, was not the communicative type. But now he's in a relationship with Chelsea, which has a very different communication style than Jess does.
Right.
So he kind of needs to take on a role as the communicator, and he needs to be very direct.
Right. I don't know if like it was the directness of Jess or if it more, because he was like, when they met up in the last episode, he was like, you terrify me. Like, you're just so like, you know, blunt and, you know, so I think maybe
also
he's
a very secure woman.
Right.
And she knows exactly what she wants.
Yeah. As she should. Like, she's like, I don't have time to fuck around. Yeah. Like, I have a 10-year-old and I don't want to put her through like different relationships and stuff.
And then with Chelsea, she's kind of not the opposite, but she's very, very different from her. She has a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
She needs constant like affirmations.
Oh yeah.
Reassurance.
Yes.
So yeah, it's very interesting to see like the different versions of Jimmy in each situation.
Definitely. So Jess didn't want to tell the guys she was into that she was a mom right away. She wanted to wait, and her reasoning was, I want them to get to know me as me before I reveal that I'm a mom. Obviously, being a mom is the most important thing to me, but I just want them to see me as more than a mom.
Yeah.
I'm not a mom. You're a mom to five.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about her decision to wait and see and then tell people later?
I can definitely understand why she would want to have it that way.
Yeah.
I can. And being a mom doesn't need to define everything. And also because it's Love is Blind, you know, you're just wanting to get to know each other. And a lot of it is also how is it edited? Because I've heard her talk about in interviews that she was pretty straightforward with a lot of them. And I think Jimmy was like the last guy to know that she was a mom.
Oh, interesting.
So they just had, for some reason, not gone that deep into conversations. But for some reason, he was her number one.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. Of course, maybe he felt blindsided because they were kind of like, had gotten pretty far into the relationship and he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pretty big deal.
Of course.
You're not just partnering up one and one, you know, it's a whole package deal, which is a big factor. And it's also a big responsibility to come as, you know, joining a family and becoming a stepdad. And
so that's a bigger thing to take on than some people may assume, because it's like you're not just signing up to be committed to this person, you're also signing up to be committed to their kid. And that is, some people don't know was expected of them and they don't want to take it on. Also, like, I don't want to be in this child's life and then walk away. That'll be maybe too difficult for me too.
Right.
But I think it's really interesting. Like, some people, they have the thing where it's like they meet someone and they're just so in love with them that them having a kid is like, there's more of you to love. Like, that's exciting to me. And then some people, it's like, I love this person so much, but like, I just can't see myself being a stepdad or, you know. And also, like, a lot of these people are young. I know, like, Jimmy is in his 20s and Jess is 28. I think Jimmy was a little younger.
Yeah.
And I can understand, like, having a 10-year-old is different than maybe a 2-year-old or, you know. But personally, I think I would be more comfortable with an older child, you know, because it's like they're about to be a teenager and as opposed to, like, you're going to have a way bigger role in raising that child if they're a toddler
definitely.
Or something.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But yeah, I think Jess and Jimmy, I understand why it didn't work out. And I think it's better that it didn't, because I don't think that they would have been.
Maybe not. I don't know. But it would be so much fun if we could see like both outcomes, both versions. Because for the majority of the time watching this, I was like, oh my God, like, she should have ended up with him. And I feel like Chelsea should have ended up with her other
Trevor,
number one,
or
which
is
was Trevor.
Yeah. Mullet man.
I feel like they would be a good couple.
So.
I mean, it would be great to see the other outcomes.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people were choosing, or at least in these two situations, I feel like they should have chosen. I feel like what I was perceiving was that they were not completely in tune with her intuition.
No, I agree.
And when Trevor, for example, when he asked Chelsea if he would have gone first and been the one to ask before, will you marry me? Maybe she would have ended up with him.
I have this feeling that if Trevor had asked first, Chelsea would have said yes.
I think so too.
And also just the way that Chelsea was saying, growing up, boys just didn't pick me. They didn't like me. And she was crying over the fact that someone had picked her as opposed to, wow, this person I love is loving me back.
Right.
Which is a totally different thing to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, obviously it could be edited to just make it look like she's more insecure than she is for the drama. But just the way that she is speaking about the situation and the way that she is talking about it as if it's like a win that a man picked her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, now I have these two. And also both of them, when they were like, I love you, she's just like, doesn't say it back. Yeah. And it's like, it's very interesting. And it's like,
she was very surprised.
Yeah. She was shocked that she's lovable. And we see that come through in her relationship now where she... I don't think she believes that she is lovable.
I don't think she does either. And I think she has a tendency to push people away.
Yeah.
Like maybe hurt before she's hurt, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
I hope she works through those insecurities.
But did you see that apparently Trevor had a girlfriend in real life during filming the show?
I did not see that. But I saw that, I think it was Jeremy.
Jeremy. He was engaged to someone.
He was engaged and like very recently single when he was being cast.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting because the fiance of Jeremy, another guy that does end up with someone in the season, the girl that he was engaged to, she was like tweeted or posted somewhere. She was like, well, did he tell you that we had just sold our house?
Yeah.
Or like,
I think,
do you know?
Originally his ex mother-in-law was the one to out him or something.
On Facebook comments.
On Facebook.
That
Crazy.
Is so wild. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Speaking of Jeremy.
Oh Lord.
I mean, this is a big one.
It is.
And so Jeremy is a guy for just as a little refresher, he also, like Chelsea, was kind of stuck between two options. Mm-hmm. He had a really nice thing going with this woman named Sarah Ann.
Yeah.
And then he also had this kind of more sensitive maybe connection with another woman named Laura. Mm-hmm. Laura and Jeremy eventually end up together. Jeremy says to Sarah Ann, I don't know what it is. I just can't do this with you.
Yeah, he needed to pick Laura.
Yeah, but he also says at the end of Sarah Ann and him in the pods, this is before they've seen each other, I'm sure I'll see you again or something like that, which kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they were both like, yeah, we'll see each other for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird.
And I feel like maybe in that situation also, he should have probably gone with Sarah Ann because I feel like very quickly into them being a couple, him and Laura, you can kind of see like their dynamic is weird. It's kind of like a mother-son kind of dynamic.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like he's so goofy, he's playing around, and she's like, ugh, will you please? Yes. Like, is this my life now?
Because he wasn't that goofy in the pods. I think what was happening is that he's the type of person that will mold his personality to please others. And then when he has that person's interest, he'll like be himself and be like more like, this is incompatible. Cause like, and the life that he was kind of telling Laura about, I don't think that was who he was in reality.
Right. Yeah.
He turned out to be a lot more cold and a lot more like, this isn't a big deal. Like then he was in the pods where he was like this really sensitive guy.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know if he becomes maybe colder towards her because I feel like when they're at the honeymoon, he's really like goofy, energetic, playful, and she's just not that into it.
Mm-mm.
And then I feel like we kind of see him growing colder and colder towards her.
Yeah, but this is kind of one of those things where it's like, would someone else she was more into, would his goofy behavior be as annoying? Like, was she already starting to resent him?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it like she just did not vibe with that type of behavior?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know? But Laura, she has like a tough girl front.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I like about her is she's very like no bullshit type girl. She just, she calls it out. She doesn't accept just any behavior.
No. And I do like that. And I think sometimes it gets a little too intense because she's hurting.
Yeah.
But I like that when she sat down on the couch with Jeremy. Mm-hmm. As another little refresher, Jeremy and Laura had moved in together. They were engaged. And she's, you know, not going out, but he's going out with his friends. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy tells Laura, I'm going out with my friends. I'm going to go to this bar. Mm-hmm. And he shares his location with her.
While she's sleeping.
While she's sleeping, right. Laura's friends were there, or she kind of figures out that Sarah Ann, the girl from the pods that Jeremy had almost picked, was there. Initially, this is not like the problem, but Jeremy told Laura that Sarah Ann had sent him a DM, and the DM was like, you know, if it doesn't work out with Laura, let me know.
The door is still open.
The door is still open, yeah.
Right.
And Laura is upset because Jeremy doesn't come home until like 5:36 in the morning, something like that. Jeremy initially
like
is
the day
also
after.
Right. Jeremy is also kind of, I wouldn't say lying, but he's like specifically not telling her what happened.
Yeah, he's being very shady.
Yeah.
He is being kind of like, yeah, he's not offering any details.
No.
He's kind of like, I shared my location. Like, that should have been enough.
And I love that she was like, I don't want to be with someone that needs to like share their location with me to like reassure me they're not doing anything.
Right.
I need to be able to like trust you. And I really liked that because I always think about that when my friends are like checking their boyfriend's location or something. I'm like,
yeah, I don't.
Why can't you just
that.
Like, ask him where he is and believe him.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird if you're not able to just trust where he is. Like, then there's a deeper issue. And I like that she called that out.
Yeah. What did you think about them when they're meeting her parents?
That was interesting.
What did you think about, like, them just telling them not only, like, their love story, but the whole love triangle, all the dirty laundry kind of being taken out?
I think that I have a theory that, like, Laura had already started to resent Jeremy when the cameras weren't rolling. There's something else that she was like, I can't deal with this. I have a feeling maybe she found out he had just previously come out of a relationship or something, but she was trying to stick in there for the sake of the show.
Yeah.
And also to be like, let's just see, like, maybe I'm wrong, you know, or maybe she was hurt. It seemed in that moment that he had been, I don't want to say gaslighting her, but he had definitely been like not validating how she felt about the DM. And now she's like, my people are with me. And if I bring this up, they'll have my back. You know, I feel like maybe subconsciously it was a little bit of that.
Could be.
But it was a little bit uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
It was pretty uncomfortable to
watch. It was. And one thing that also stuck out to me was when they're talking about that DM that Sarah Ann sent him.
Yeah.
And he was like, he said something about like gaining points or something about, remember?
Oh, yeah. He was like, well, I told you about it. So I thought like that would make me good or like give me points.
Yeah.
Or you got to give me points for that.
Or some kind of credit system. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That is so weird to me. I've always been super weirded out when people are like, you got to give me credit for it. It's like, no, that was weird.
It
you
is.
Should like, if you know, it's almost like he's trying to be like, well, the thing you want me to do, obviously I'm not going to do it. But here's this, like, look, like, I'm not being bad. I'm being good. That's also the thing where it's like, he's always acting as if, right, it's like the mom son thing. Where
it
it's
is.
Like, I'm not in trouble, am I? Love
what a
that.
Turn off, though.
I know. My vagina just shriveled up and died to think about that dynamic. Like, ew, please.
What I really liked was, I think it was Laura's sister, when Laura's like, I can't deal with the Hawaiian shirts or something. And she's like, no, he's really into it. And that should be celebrated. Like, whenever someone's excited about something, like, that's great.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know. No.
I think like at this point she had already checked out mentally.
Yeah.
But I do like, because it was really easy for her to just be like, I want out. When he was just like, yeah, like I drove Sarah Ann home. I did drive her home, but like nothing happened. And then she's like,
and that was, that only came out when she knew where he was.
Right. Because she was like, well, you were in the North End or whatever. You were north of South End or like whatever it was.
There was some conversation going on about him sharing his location through his phone while he was at the parking lot, and then turning off the location while he drove her home. Mm. But he has an Apple Watch. And that kind of will ping in.
Yeah. And she was like, don't share your location with me if you don't want me to check it. Because she was giving him this like illusion, like, I didn't even check your location. I was sleeping. And then he's like, okay, I'll lie. And then she's like, that's a lie because I checked your location. Like, that's kind of what happened. I like how she set that up because she was testing him.
Yeah.
But it's sad to me because you shouldn't have to test the person that you're into.
I know. You know? Also, his like demeanor or his body language, like he has a pillow in front of him. He was
closed off,
very standoffish. And he was like, I said before, like not offering any details. He was very like in defense.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Instead of, you know, he could have gone such a different way about it. Like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I know this is wrong. I don't want to hurt you.
Here's what happened. Capable of apologizing to her.
No, he's really cold towards her.
Yeah. I don't think he can admit when he's at fault. I haven't seen that yet.
That's true.
Which is a huge red flag.
But what's interesting is that we see this also in the last season with Zach and Bliss. So I guess you didn't watch that one. But he ends up choosing, so he's also in this love triangle, has two number ones, ends up going on the honeymoon with, I don't remember
one
her
of
name,
them.
Irina or something. Yeah. And then they realize, like, we are not a good match. This is never going to work out. And he goes off and meets up with Bliss. They're happily married. And I think she's pregnant or they just had a baby or something.
Yeah, sometimes just like, you know, when you know, you know.
Kind of like, From that point of view, I do understand Sarah Ann with her DM and the door is still open and all that. But what do you think about that? Was it wrong?
I mean, people are like,
well... Because at that point, he is engaged.
Right.
And he's still, like, in this process.
They've known each other for, like, 2 weeks. Like, how serious is this? Some people do get married and it's, like, great. But some people, it's like... If you take a step back and, like, look at it, maybe she should have been more respectful in the DM. But it's like, does it really, like, I'm just kind of like, you know what?
And it's also this thing about being a girl's girl and kind of like Jess like, has
I would
been...
never do that.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I understand where she's coming from because she sent it as soon as she went home.
Yeah.
And at that point, it had been like a day since she saw him.
Yeah. I think it's also like how you convey your message. And she's like, I didn't come here for friends. I came here to find a husband.
Right.
I can definitely understand that. But I don't know. It would have been respectful to maybe contact Laura or have a conversation with her.
Or there's just so much.
Or just wait.
Yeah.
You know?
Like she could have just been like, just followed him and been like, hey, if you want to talk about anything in the pods, I'm available to talk about it. Or like if you ever feel comfortable or like you want to talk about anything, just know I'm here or something. Instead of like the door is always open. It's like. That is kind of more disrespectful to Laura.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's like, isn't it up to Jeremy?
Yeah.
You know? But we saw something a little similar with Jimmy and Chelsea, where Jimmy introduces Chelsea to two girls that he's friends with. We learn that they've been friends for like 2 years. And one of the girls makes a comment. Oh, well, you know, he never says no to sex or something during that conversation. And it's purposefully kept in the episode. And I was like, that's weird. Then in a later episode, Jimmy goes out. Chelsea doesn't want to go out for whatever reason. Again, we kind of see this dynamic of, but in their case, we find out Chelsea, because she's had a little bit too much to drink. She's a little messy. And
just
we've already.
A tad.
We've already discussed here, she's a little more anxious in her attachment. She's kind of insecure. And she is like, who were you with? Like, why won't you just admit you were with your girlfriends? And then she's like, well, you told me you guys had sex. Like, and she even goes, I know you fucked her, which is so funny. I love her little, her southern drawl. But it is one of those things where it's like, can you stay friends with someone after you've had sex and hang out with them alone without your partner?
Right.
What is the boundary there? What do you think about, like, that kind of theme that keeps popping up? Because, of course, Jeremy and Sarah Ann, like, didn't have sex, but, like, they had a connection.
Right.
And is that worse than, like, someone who just, like, they had sex, like, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. They were not compatible and they just ended up staying friends.
Yeah.
But is the door always open?
Right.
Hmm.
It is a tricky one. I think it always comes down to the trust. And that's something you have to build over time in a relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
And he purposely went and introduced them because he obviously wants to keep both those girls in his life and mm-hmm. he wants them to be friends. But yeah, we didn't get to know until afterwards that he had some kind of sexual relationship with one of them. So yeah, I don't know. Because at this point, it's still such a new relationship.
Yes. It's so crazy these people are getting married in a month.
It is.
You know?
It is
crazy. It is a little nutso.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, did Chelsea know before meeting her they had sex? Or did she find out after?
Right.
I think that also kind of plays a different role here.
Mm-hmm.
But is it always a red flag? I'd say it's super subjective. Like, it's so...
Yeah, that's what I think.
There are people in my life
mm-hmm.
that, like, I've maybe had sex with once.
Because
we were friends, we had sex, and then, like, it just was not going to work out romantically, and we
mm-hmm.
just stayed friends. But I don't make an... Like, I'm not, like... I don't see them all the time.
Right.
I might like run into them or I still maybe follow them on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
But I don't like hang out with them.
And that's different from like hanging out. Like those are his, seems like they're his like close friends.
Yeah.
Since he was, you know, taking Chelsea to like introduce them. Very formal kind of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
It's not, I don't think it's like always a red flag, but I think it is something where it's like
people
the intention matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can have sex with someone and just realize you guys are way better friends and you don't want to ruin the friendship and just stay friends. And that kind of doesn't have to define anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or.
So do you think Chelsea's insecure because it's like, well, what if the sex was better with her? Or do you think she's insecure because it's like, well, if it happened once, it could happen again. Like, I don't know where I have you.
I think she's insecure just
overall.
Period. Yeah. Period. That's kind of the vibe I feel from her. And also because I don't know if she knew that they were going to be there, but he talks a lot about it was his friend's birthday. And it sounds like a guy friend was
mm-hmm.
celebrating his birthday. So he was going to go meet the boys. And then she's like, I know she was there, blah, blah, blah. I know you fucked her. But I think he was kind of like, oh, my God, I went out for one drink. I stayed an hour and a half. Most of it was the driving back and forth.
Right.
And she's making it out to be like, but I don't want to be with someone who's
always out
the time.
Yeah.
You told me you were a homebody and you didn't go out as much. And he's like, no, occasionally I like to go out and have a drink.
It's like my friend's birthday. Like, I'm going to go see him. Yeah. But then also he kind of changes his tune where he's like, I do like to go out. I do want to go out. But then Jess also said something... I think it was, like, in an interview where she was, like, like, in the pods, he was, like, I never go out. Like, I always stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's, like, it also depends how literal people are taking these things.
Right. I think you can never expect someone to never go out, especially if it's, like, a special occasion, your friend's birthday, and you want to go and say hi and go back home. And she was invited, seems like that.
Right.
But I don't know if it's what's worse, like, being home alone drinking
mm-hmm.
or going out for a drink and coming back home. She kind of makes it like, is that the type of man you are? Like, is that what you want to do all the time?
She was obviously hurt and like lashing out.
She was very hurt,
But
I feel like she's very sensitive. Like, he cannot do anything without her being hurt.
Right.
You know, or without her being kind of like making a big deal out of nothings.
It becomes like a character attack really quickly too. Because he was like...
What was that fight they had on the honeymoon?
On the honeymoon, it was because AD. So,
Which and he
we're
was like
talk about.
Her around.
Mm-hmm. So AD, refresher / introduction of this new person. AD, her name is Amber Desiree, right?
Yeah, Amber Desiree.
And she's a Black woman on the show. And that's important to mention because
mm-hmm.
she does have like really serious conversations about this, which
mm-hmm.
we'll get into. But Amber, AD, they all get a chance to like meet each other and see each other on their like honeymoon type thing, the vacation thing. They all get a chance to see what each other look like for the first time. Obviously, the guys and the girls separately have all seen each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to see like people they might have talked to or been on a date
with. Yeah, people they dated.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. They made connections with probably most of them.
And Jimmy and AD never had a connection as far as we know. Like they never like went on maybe more than like 1-2 dates or whatever. They weren't like an option. Amber, or AD, I should say, is with Clay. Is that his name? Who is friends with Jimmy. Jimmy really loves him, like whatever. Jimmy makes a comment to Chelsea. Like, damn, when I saw her, like, that girl is stacked.
Yeah.
Like, she has a huge ass.
She has a great body.
She does. And Chelsea, in an attempt, I think, to diffuse the situation for her, is like, hey, AD, like, what can I do to get a butt like that or something?
Yeah.
And AD makes a really funny comment that's like, squats and Jesus, baby. And keep in mind, AD, she was a cheerleader for the Patriots. So, like, obviously her body is also topic of discussion because of, like, I guess because of that. But Jimmy does, like, call it out. And anyway, then because Jimmy feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, but he kind of just says it to her.
Yeah, to Chelsea. And Chelsea makes it, like, a big thing.
Yeah.
And because Chelsea's like, because Jimmy was like, damn, she's stacked. Or, like, she calls it out.
Yeah, and she says somewhere that it's because she felt so uncomfortable that that's kind of the only option she had. It was like, yeah, girl.
But it's like you're making it a public thing when he just told you.
Yeah. And so suddenly everyone's having that conversation.
Right. And Jimmy, I guess, is like, maybe he's just like feeling weird and bad. And he wants to make it like, oh, I'm not trying to like evilly sexualize you. Like,
yeah.
And he takes AD and he like twirls her around. And then he like has a conversation about like, so how are you and Clay? And he's actually like hyping up Chelsea. And he's like telling AD how much he loves Chelsea and all this stuff. But Chelsea walks away and she's like, well, you just like, I was there at the bar and like, you didn't even talk to me. And that's why they have the fight.
Right. Yeah.
But it's kind of like,
and I do see there is a moment where she's like she turns her back towards them. They're like kind of behind her having a conversation and she's just like at the bar.
And someone else comes up to her at the bar and is like talking to her.
But I don't know, maybe because it was such a it was a conversation about her body or maybe Chelsea, she should have been like included because she was the one calling it out.
Right.
They could have had that conversation, the three of them.
Right. In general, AD got a lot of comments about her body. A lot of them.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the girl's got a great body. But it felt like it was more than any of the other girl cast members.
For sure.
And she has a great body, but it's like, so does Laura. Laura's got a big ass too. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so does Amy. And, you know, it's like, it became a topic of discussion. And it reminded me of, in previous seasons, Raven.
Yeah.
Who also had a great body. Everyone
the
had
Pilates
to make a
girl.
Right. Everyone had to make a comment about it. And these are both Black women.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of the theme.
Yeah, I agree.
And it is weird.
It is. It is very weird.
And they're being sexualized more, I think, than other cast members.
A lot more.
I don't know. It's just, it made me really uncomfortable how comfortable everybody was with, like, discussing her ass and discussing her body.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where I'm like, do we have to, like, go there?
I know.
You know?
I know. And she's such a good sport about it. She's like,
well, she has to be, like you said. Like, she kind of has to be.
Yeah. I mean, what other...
Right.
What other option do you have? Like...
Yeah. And Jeremy and Laura, like, apparently Laura makes this comment to Jeremy. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with, like, Chelsea and Jimmy, where it's like, Jimmy makes a comment just to Chelsea, and, like, she brings it up. Laura makes a comment, like...
You should bean dip her?
Bean dip her, which is like a little titty slap.
I had never heard about bean dipping anyone.
Me either. I've heard about like purple nurple, but not bean
what
dipping.
What is that?
That's like when you joke about like twisting someone's nipples because they turn purple. And I'm like, why are we like doing this? Why
good
are we
question.
Doing this to AD?
Yeah.
But anyway, Jeremy is
and,
like,
and also, okay, it's
out.
One thing to like, wow, you have a great body.
Yeah.
Even though that is like, ugh, like, why do we have to go there?
Right.
But a bean dip.
Yeah. Like, give her a little titty slap. Why are you, why are you so comfortable like joking about like touching her body and like, you know?
Yeah. It feels kind of like degrading and rude and very objectifying.
Yes. Yeah. All of a sudden she has people like apologizing for like all these comments about her body. the day after or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And also how AD can't say, I'm uncomfortable with it. She has to be like, it was rude to do that in front of my man.
Yeah.
True. And I was like, because he seems okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also AD's like upset. And then Clay makes this like statement like, oh, I'll reel in my woman.
Yeah.
Like, I'll reel her in. I know. Is your woman good? Yeah, I'll reel her in. I'm like, oh, we're in the South now, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to North Carolina. Goddamn.
But, so funny.
Yeah, I mean, that happens everywhere in the U.S. I'm just joking. But but the race thing does come up when Kenneth and Brittany, who Kenneth is a black man, Whitney is white girl from Brittany. South.
Mm-hmm.
And they, AD has a really real conversation with Kenneth about it. Which I found kind of interesting, too.
It was interesting. So they basically have a talk about raising children together as an interracial couple.
Right.
I don't know. What do you feel like Kenneth kind of shifted after that talk?
I think so. I think he did.
Was he maybe like, no, I should definitely be with a black woman?
Well, I think maybe he also realized, like, how much else is that he would be maybe missing out on or something. Because he also made a comment like, my friends are going to check me on this, but it's coming from a place of love. I think maybe he realized like there's values that are going to maybe be different. Mm-hmm. There are experiences that are going to be different raising a biracial child as opposed to a black child or just a white child.
Because up until that point, they seemed very aligned. I think mostly they connected on the spiritual level. And
right. Jesus,
the religion, the church, whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt somewhat of a shift after that talk with AD.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's great that she brought it up.
Right. I'm happy she brought it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, but I'm also like, had you not thought about that already? Like, I'm like, I don't think he hadn't thought about that because they kind of talked about it already, it feels like.
Yeah.
But also some people are saying that he's down low, like he's gay. Mm. He's secretly gay.
Really?
And I think it's kind of like, we don't know. He's also a principal of a middle school. He probably doesn't want to be like open about his sexuality in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that seems like a conversation that is just so ridiculous. Because I'm like, what if he is? Like, that's his thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just because he didn't want this woman doesn't mean like he's gay.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. But I don't know. That whole conversation online, I'm just kind of like gross to speculate about somebody until, you know?
Mm-hmm. It
but
is.
But I understand where it's coming from because it's like he just had no affection to her whatsoever at any point.
It was kind of weird how closed off he was. Like she's crying.
And he's just like,
scrolling on his phone.
He was always on that damn phone.
Like, what is up with
that? What is going on? He's like, hold on, I got to answer this email. He's email?
He's probably just on Candy Crush or something.
Yeah, he's on Candy Crush. Someone was just like, what is more important than her when she's literally crying? And I was like, there's nothing on that phone.
And also before that, like when they're unpacking, they're, you know, moving in together. And she's like, do you want the right drawer, the left side or whatever? And he's like, just scrolling.
That was so, like, just.
That should be like such a great opportunity to connect, do this together, get settled in.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy.
Yeah.
Be present. I don't know.
No.
It was really weird.
Really weird. It seems like he's really avoidant.
Yeah.
He just can't tell her that he's not feeling it anymore.
Yeah.
And then also, she talks to him about, like, this is what I need. Like, I know we're waiting to have sex until we get married, but I still need, like, something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to hold hands. Like, I want you to be touching and rubbing me. You know what I mean? And he's just like, so what I'm hearing is, like, you're not in it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be with someone who's not in it. Like, he flips it around on her.
Yeah, which was very interesting because she talks something about, like, feeling a crave.
Mm-hmm. Desire.
Just physically, and he's like, yeah, maybe you don't feel the crave. I'm craving you. I was trying to love on you last night or whatever when he apparently woke her up and turned the light on. I don't know. Yeah. While she was sleeping.
I was asleep, but okay.
But I feel like as soon as she started, I don't know, but he was very checked out and he all of a sudden says, because I feel like she's just expressing what she needs and what she wants to change, how they can make this a better relationship. And he says, this isn't going to work out.
Yeah. He basically is like, all right, so then we're done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, that's cold, mm-hmm. Kenneth. Mm-hmm. That's cold.
Yeah, because while they were in the pods and when they, like, right after the reveal, they were, like, one of the most solid couples, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, their way of communicating. And, yeah, they seemed like they were very, like, on the same page.
Yeah.
On many levels.
But I do really like that the show brings up these, like, difficult things that a lot of people have to deal with when they're dating, mm-hmm. like meeting your family or different values, different religions, different races, like things that do definitely play a factor.
Yeah.
Another tough conversation that we heard was Johnny and Amy mm-hmm. and the conversation about birth control.
Mm.
It was really interesting.
It was.
So Johnny reveals that he just has assumed that every girl he's been with has been on birth control. And he's
poor
like, well,
guy.
And he even was like, you know, one of my exes, like, we used to just complain about the side effects. So I just assumed everyone was on it, you know?
Yeah. He seems kind of like he missed out on sex ed.
Oh, most of my friends, like, from the South, with exceptions of a few, mm-hmm. like, that are from more, like, liberal areas, like cities,
mm-hmm.
a lot of my friends in the South mm-hmm. did not receive, like, any sex ed. Or the sex ed they got in school mm-hmm. was like, it was basically like, don't have sex.
Unless you want to get pregnant or die.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. Mm-hmm. But it's like, don't have sex. It was just part of like general health class.
Okay.
And I grew up in the Northeast,
mm-hmm.
but my sex ed was just like, here's how to like put on a condom. And there are birth control options, but you shouldn't have sex
mm-hmm.
until you basically, like, they weren't saying until marriage, but they were like, you should abstain as long as possible.
Yeah, for baby-making purposes.
Yeah, they literally only ever talked about sex for, like, reproductive purposes.
Right.
They didn't say anything about orgasms, anything.
Of course not.
No. They literally were just like, and in the South, in a lot of states, there's, like, mandates where, like, you can't talk about certain things. Also, there's no, like, it doesn't have to be medically accurate. By the way.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Yep. So that's why I'm like, when he was explaining, for example, that he didn't know how a vasectomy worked, he was like, they cut a vein.
Yeah. That was terrible.
It's painful to watch, right?
Yeah. But I do really like that Amy stands her ground and she's not willing to, or at least, you know, up until maybe later, but she's not like willing to just compromise her values and where she stands on this birth control thing. She's very conscious about, you know, the side effects and it's hormones that you're dumping into your system and whatnot. So she's very, she's conscious, you know.
Right.
Whereas he is more like, I thought everyone was on birth control.
Right, but I just don't understand, like, why they're not talking about, like, even non-hormonal contraceptive methods. Like, they're like, you know, condoms don't always work. And I'm like, but they, if you're used correctly, they have a great success rate.
Right.
Partnered with other things that you can do.
You can track your period.
Right. Or, like, that one's tough because she does have, like, a reproductive disorder.
Oh,
and so she has, like, regular cycles, but she talks about how she has, like, really bad periods. And so that's why it's, like, sometimes that can throw off when you're ovulating. So
No, but I mean that with a condom.
Yeah, with a condom. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So paired together. Mm-hmm. Or a copper IUD, non-hormonal, very few side effects. A lot of people that have heavy periods benefit from them.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard at first, but then it evens out. And also a copper IUD is an emergency contraceptive.
Mm.
If you put it up there within 5 days of unprotected sex, and is a non-hormonal method of emergency contraceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't even know about that. And, like, they assume the only emergency contraceptive they can use is, like, Plan B or Ella or, like, the emergency, like, the morning after pill.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, like, there are non-hormonal methods, and I just wish that they took the opportunity to, like, discuss those more.
Yeah,
you know?
Explore them.
But it does sound like he doesn't want to wear condoms. That's basically
what it
sounds like.
It does sound like that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Or, like, he doesn't trust that they'll use them.
Yeah. And it's also kind of crazy that one of the options that we saw coming up is a vasectomy.
Yeah. And then he was really surprised.
They do want to have children.
Right. And I'm like, I hear this all the time, that it's like, well, why don't they just get a vasectomy? And it's like, well, they are reversible, technically speaking, but it's not an easily reversible procedure.
Right.
They're not as easily reversible as people think, because what you're doing is you are taking the tube that carries sperm from the testes up to the prostate fluid. You're cutting it and cauterizing it, mm-hmm. which means you're burning it closed.
Right.
And in order to reverse it, it's actually, so the procedure itself is, you don't have to be put under, you're just locally mm-hmm. anesthetized, like mm-hmm. it's numb. But to reverse it, like you have yeah. to usually go under, and right. it's a open surgery. Like you're not just snipping and cutting.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remove the scar tissue, the cauterized, you have to sew together those tubes. And it's not always successful.
It might not work, right?
Yeah. Artificial insemination doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm.
Freezing your eggs doesn't always work. These things should not be sold as like foolproof backup plans, because mm-hmm. they're not. They're not insurance policies. They're
no.
options and potentials yeah. to have
right.
children.
Right.
It sucks because there are no other options really besides mm-hmm. barrier methods and vasectomies for, you know, and those are really two sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But hopefully in the future there will be – there's this thing that's going to be kind of like a temporary vasectomy mm. where they inject this firming like agent into the tube.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like – it's almost this like thickener, and it goes in and it just prevents the sperm from going
okay.
through it. But then it's removable and it doesn't ever mm-hmm. damage the tissue.
Interesting.
And that's going to be cool to see in the next like decade
yeah.
if it – you know?
Yeah. I've also seen this – I don't know what it's called. It's some kind of a ring I think you put
yeah.
on the testicles.
Mm-hmm.
They keep it like lower,
yeah.
further away from the body. So somehow
– or it, closer to warm them up sometimes too.
Okay.
Like to keep them at a temperature where sperm like can't survive.
Right. Well, okay.
That
yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Should be an option as well
yeah.
for them.
I'm tired of the cop-out of like, well, there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there it is.
Yeah.
And also, I'm excited for a future where it's like, there are multiple things you can do.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be great.
Definitely.
And I think this really highlighted, though, that birth control is something you should talk about with
Definitely.
Every sexual partner. Because mm-hmm. he said something like, I just assumed everyone was on it, and now I'm like, oh, crap. Like,
and it's also somehow the girl's responsibility.
Always.
Like, he's just clueless. Ugh. Yeah, very
That's interesting. That's wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what the show does a really good job of highlighting, because it is kind of like trashy TV, reality TV, like
yeah.
whatever. But what it does a really good job of highlighting is, love always enough?
Right.
You might be super infatuated with that person,
mm-hmm.
but like there's so many things
I know
that are out of our control.
So many factors.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. And yeah, like different backgrounds, families, because like while they're in the pods and then on the honeymoon, they're just kind of like in this lovey-dovey bubble.
Yeah.
Not like in the real world.
No.
And then they go and meet the family, they go back to work. And it's very interesting to see how the dynamic changes.
Yeah.
Once they're not together like 24/7. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Clay being like, oh, my parents divorced, my dad cheated on my mom, so I'm really worried about me cheating. And AD's like, that's your
it's
biggest
so
thing.
Weird. Yeah, it is weird to me. It's like you're in full control.
Yeah.
Like how can you be afraid of something you might do? Like that's a decision that's up
yeah.
to you.
And I'm
it's
like,
it's not like, oops, I
yeah.
tripped and I fell and I slipped into some
I just walked right into her vagina.
It's,
like I don't know
it's
how
crazy.
That happened.
Yeah. And I can understand that you having certain role models or something might affect you in some way, and maybe he thinks that this is normal, but he seems to be very, he knows that it's wrong, he knows
yeah.
that it's not.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be so concerned about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But I really liked how AD's mom, like, kind of
oh, I loved
checked
her.
Him. Yeah.
I loved her. I also like that his mom said
yeah.
something, too, about, like, she said something to him, like, well, you know, like, you got to make time.
Mm-hmm.
If
that
that's
really
something
good.
That's important to you, you got to make time. And AD's mom, I think they're the best parents we've seen on the show in
yeah.
a long time.
Yeah.
I
really
loved
liked
AD's
that
mom.
She, yeah, she was great. She said something about, you know, he was only looking at it as failure that they had divorced, but they did have 24
yeah.
years of marriage. That's got to count for something.
And also she's like, this is our stuff to figure
mm-hmm.
out. Like, you know, like she was like, you know, I'm divorced. AD's father has passed away. That's our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my failure in my marriage is my thing.
Right.
And it doesn't always like have to determine your future.
Exactly.
And I liked that too, because it's like, it kind of reminds me of the quote that's like, it doesn't always matter like who hurt you because it's ultimately your responsibility to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that because it's so true. It's like you kind of always have to just take responsibility for your own decisions.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like Clay is doing this like cop-out thing where he's like, well, like what if I – but I saw a couple discussions about it that were like, well, maybe he has like an OCD thing where he's like imagining this like worst-case scenario and he's just feeling this like compulsive need to check if he's going to do it. Because I think that that's something that isn't always talked about, but relationship OCD is super common.
Yeah.
But a more important discussion I saw is it's the lack of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of has shown this like lust over love thing. And I think it's a protective thing.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I got to know what you look like before I see you. And she's like, no, that's not the point of this.
Right.
And then he's like sexualizing her. And then he has to check himself and be like, I don't want to always be sexualizing her. Like, you know, and then she's like, oh, like, I'm worried that you won't love me without the body. Like one day I'm going to want to be pregnant.
It'll change. Yeah.
He's like, no. You're going to work out. I'll get you right in the gym.
I'll tell you. You need to go to the gym right now. That was weird. Dude, that was kind of like, oh, God.
Like, what? What are you talking about?
But I really liked how she was like, she kind of like put him in his place. And, you know, there's a difference on how you say things. Like, just be nice about it. Like, you can be motivating. Yeah. Not like, you need to get your ass in the gym now.
Like, I'll get you right. What do you mean? You're going to maybe make her life easier so she has more time to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay for a nanny so she can come to the gym with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to make sure she has everything she needs to feel safe postpartum so she doesn't have an ab tear that prevents her from going to the gym.
And also like, that's not like the only thing. It's not only pregnancy and gaining weight. I mean, she could be in a car accident.
Right.
She could lose a limb. She could fall into depression and gain weight. There's so many things that you don't know. Yeah. And what is his answer going to be? Go to the gym?
I mean,
I feel like they need to establish this like good trust foundation. Because, it's not about the looks. It's supposed to be about the person inside.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole pods thing is about.
Right.
And he kind of seems very like hung up on the looks of the body. And
it's like he does it when he starts to feel real feelings.
Yeah.
I've noticed that he does this every time shit gets real. I also just find him super bizarre sometimes with, I think they're really sweet together and he's really cute to her and really nice to her. And he's like really interested in her and wants to make her feel happy and loved and stuff. But there's a certain quality to him when he like walks into a room. He's like, hey guys. Like, it's like he's always a little bit elsewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it is some type of insecurity as well.
Yeah, or like he's kind of always holding himself back a little bit. It's like he puts up this front because he's almost like afraid to let people in.
Yeah, could be.
Which makes sense. I mean, he hasn't known these people for that long.
Yeah.
It's like this defaulting to that where I'm like, who are you? Like, who's Clay? Who are you?
Yeah.
What are you into? Like,
for sure.
How do you show up for her?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that gets stronger as we go on.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's more assertive now towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I did want to mention when we were talking about sexualization of AD, also, like, the video edit, like, when they're in the tub. Did you notice, like, how the cameras were just, like, slow motioning, kind of zooming in on her body?
Yeah.
That didn't happen with
anyone else. Nope.
It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, she's not a video vixen for you. Like, she's not in a music video. That's like her and her man.
Yeah.
That was a little weird to me.
Yeah.
I did notice that. I was like, like, what? But I noticed they did the same thing to Raven. When she walked out for the, meeting everyone.
Yeah.
Then it was like, damn, like, look at her. And I'm like,
smoke show.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. They said smoke show. That's right.
She had a connection with Bartice.
Yeah. He was also a freaking weirdo, though.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy. He's also been on Perfect Match, I think.
Yeah. I didn't watch that.
Okay, you should.
It's so funny, though, how these, like, I saw also someone talking about, like, how different would Love is Blind be if they were all, like, 38 years old instead of, like, 26.
Yeah.
Okay, I got married at 24, mm-hmm. all right? I was only with him for a year before I got married. Mm-hmm. But I've also known him for my whole life.
Yeah.
And we knew our families already. We knew our values already. Right. It's different. It's still different, hard. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's like not hard, but like work is like intentional.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you have to show up for yourself and for each other. But it's like,
I think it's like that in all relationships. Yeah.
But I'm like very happy I got married. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. And we've been married now for 4 years this next week.
Mm.
Time flies. Oh, it's crazy, yeah. right? But that being said, would I get married to someone after knowing them a month?
Ugh.
I don't know if I'm willing to do that. And that's mm-hmm. what, like, we were talking about in the beginning, where it's like, some of these people are just there because they're like, I'm getting married now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it reminds me of? Mm. Who the fuck did I marry? The whole story where she's like ignoring all these red flags
yeah.
because she just wants to get married.
Yeah.
She just wanted to get married. So yeah. she's like looking past a lot of shit because she wanted mm-hmm. to get married.
Yeah. That is something that we see a lot also on, mm-hmm. on the show. Like some, and I feel kind of like with Chelsea and Jimmy, going back to them.
Yeah.
Their dynamic seems very toxic, you know, yeah. how she'll like push him away and then she'll like, no, don't leave, you know?
I hate you, don't leave me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oof, that is a wound.
They could do this forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cycle that, and once he's in it now.
Yeah.
Cause,
and he can't see how bad it is.
He cannot. But I feel like there was a moment where he was like, no, if you don't believe I love you, like, what's the point in all this? And he was ready to break up with her. And he just wanted to call everything off at one point. It was after that fight where she was drunk, yeah. I think.
And he stayed calm. He was cool as a cucumber, baby. Yeah. He was calm as hell.
He was.
And I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
But that is healthy masculinity to me.
Yeah.
When someone is like, I'm going to tell you what I feel, but mm-hmm. he didn't storm off. He didn't slam doors. He wasn't yelling. Like when Clay was like circling the pod with like something in a golf club in his hand, when like AD was talking to Matt, who, by the way, we need to touch on him.
Yes.
Wasn't his name Matt?
You.
Matthew. Matt?
Yeah.
Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like that was kind of nuts, though. But Clay also was able to grow and learn from it, which, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to give him too much shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy was. For all of his faults and weirdness, he's really good at staying calm.
He is.
Especially yeah. when someone is really hammering into him with, like, the crying.
I know.
I know you fucked her. Like, all this. Yeah. Telling his friends, like, secret on camera when he's like, we promise, like, don't discuss this on camera to protect her privacy.
Yeah.
But he was calm as hell. And I was like.
She is a lot.
A lot.
She is.
I hope that she will look at this as a learning experience.
I think it will be a wake-up yeah. call for her to watch everything, you know.
Because I feel like she deserves better for her own self.
Yeah.
I feel like she could definitely look at this. I hope it doesn't send her deeper into a spiral mm-hmm. of insecurity, because it could.
Right.
There have been previous cast members and previous years that just, it ruined their entire self-compassion for yeah. themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she needs to fill up her own cup a little bit. And I worry that this type of shit's not going to be good, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it makes for good TV, let me tell you.
It does. Oh, my God.
But So do you think that love really is blind?
That's the big question.
Right?
I think definitely can be blind. I think so.
Yeah.
I think you can. Because we've seen it happen over and over again where people do actually fall in love.
Yeah.
And people go in there like, no, this is not going to happen. I am not going to be able to fall in love. And you see these weird feelings just spiral out of control within days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, because they have all the time in the world and they're just connecting on a deeper level. They have all these conversations. And yeah, so I think it is blind. But yeah, then like you said, is it enough?
Exactly. Is it enough?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's not. But also it's like, are they in love? Because I feel like love takes a long time to grow. Or are they just infatuated with each other?
Yeah, that's also a good question.
Are they feeling lust? Are they feeling a connection?
And also, because we have to remember they're very isolated. I mean, yeah. they don't have their phone. They're just like very isolated from everything. So yeah I think you kind of get obsessed maybe.
But real quick about Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really interesting storyline. We don't see him after the pods.
We don't.
He had a weird vibe.
Very weird and very, I don't know what it was, but his whole communication style, he had like this question list for the people that he was dating. But then as soon as he got a question, he was like, I was going to be the one asking the questions.
Right. He's like, well, I wasn't expecting someone to ask me that. I actually don't want to do this
anymore. And how are you going to get to know anyone?
Yeah. And also, it's so weird to me, to be honest, how he was with the guys in the pods, like the living quarters. They'd be like, oh, do you want a sandwich? He's like, no. Oh, you left your notebook over here. And he just like goes over and grabs it silently and walks away. Because I'm just like,
very crazy.
But then in the pods, he's so different, like especially with AD.
Especially with AD.
And I'm like, okay. But then he tells the girl.
Then he was telling two girls the same thing at the same time.
They're both named Amber, first of all. Amber and Amber Desiree. Amber and AD. He's telling both of them the same thing, asking like, oh, like what would your dad think? Like I want to ask him permission beforehand in marriage, like all this stuff, like implying that they're like the one.
Yeah. Like, and he says you were the only one here for me.
People were saying like, why weren't Amber's episode or dates shown or whatever? Maybe they'll show them during like the reunion. But I think if you leave before the producers tell you to leave, I think you waive, like you can't, like they're not going to show. Like, because you don't get paid, so then they're not going to, like, use your material because, like, you know, there's something there. But because this is, like, a special situation, maybe they'll I would love to see how Matthew said it to Amber and AD.
Yeah, I know.
But that's really interesting. But now they're friends, Amber and AD, in real life.
That's cute, right? Nice, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really cute. But, yeah. But I'm looking forward to seeing who is going to be saying yes or no at the altar. Married.
I know. So exciting.
What are your predictions?
Okay. So I think, like I said, I think Chelsea and Jimmy, they could do this for a long time. They're already in this kind
toxic
of cycle.
Yeah.
I think they will be getting married. That's my prediction as of today. Yeah. I feel like, and he says, like, it's so damn hard to not forgive her. I can't say no to her, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's like a trauma bond.
It is some type of trauma bond. Yeah. And it's some type of, I don't know, she's like pushing people away and then grabbing and holding on for dear life. Yeah. And but I feel like he's very, like you said, cool, calm and collected for sure. But I feel like he's already getting used to that pattern where she'll have a meltdown. He reassures her and then they make up and then it happens all over again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what is this, like a month? And how many fights have they already had? And how, you know, they keep on doing this. Yeah, it's the same cycle. And I feel like he's getting really used to it. And you can kind of feel like he's, and at the same time, he's growing like fonder of her. And I mean, they're living together. So I think that they might get married.
I think that they will say yes, unless it's a curveball that Chelsea says no. That really? Would be crazy because, like, now she's, like, seen Trevor.
Yeah.
And I think also she's, like, going to blame it on Jimmy, like, because maybe she regrets how she's being portrayed in the show. So maybe she's, like, well, I can get out now and blame it on him, like, how I acted. Because, like, do you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of happened in the past.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I kind of hope that he says no.
Me too.
I really do.
Because I think also she needs to work on herself alone. She needs not be in a relationship.
I know.
But Amy and Johnny, I think they're definitely going to say yes.
Yeah, I think so. And also I was going to say with the birth control thing.
Yeah.
I feel like because they're so lovey-dovey, everything's super perfect. I feel like maybe they had to blow up something.
I think so, yeah.
To like, okay, they got to have some issue, you know, give us something.
Yeah.
So maybe that was kind of blown out of proportion.
I think so too. It was a good conversation to have for the public also because they know that people are going to be talking, tweeting, et cetera, about it. Clay and Amber, I could see it going either way. I feel like Amber's been posting, or AD has been posting a lot about it, out of all of them, I feel like she's posted like the clips of them together more than others from the show so far. But it could be to like red herring us and like make us look like they said yes, you know?
I feel like they're both very determined. They're very ambitious.
I think he might say no.
Really?
I think so, because he keeps being like, well, if, like, I don't know why it has to happen, like, so quick. He's really rational with this, though.
They had something about a timeline.
Yeah.
And she said she would not continue to date him if he
says no.
Said no
at the altar. She's like, I need a yes. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh.
Yeah, they had some kind of debate about
the timeline. And, like, after that, also, like, when they were doing their wedding sneaker stuff, I feel like he's putting up a front. He's like, I just got to get to the altar and then I can say no to her. Because they have a contract. I mean, they get paid a couple thousand each episode that they're on. So they want, some of them like want to stay on longer.
But I think they're a nice couple. I really see them working out as long as they're communicating and he's making time for her and stuff like that. I think all the problems we've seen come up, I think that they're very easy to work through.
Yeah.
I don't think they have like any major issues. And usually when they have had some kind of disagreement or something, I feel like she's very quick to address it and kind of, and he is very understanding of her perspective and he admits when he's at fault and he admits when he's wrong. And he, so I think they can work it out. And I think they work out as a couple. And
Definitely.
They match well.
They do.
They look good together. So Jeremy and Laura are not getting married.
No. Do you think that Jeremy and Sarah Ann will get married?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Okay, Kenneth and Brittany, obviously no. Laura and Jeremy, no. And
that was a curveball for me, though, with Kenneth and Brittany. That was surprising, like, how quickly it ended.
I saw
it. And they were not at that lake house thingy.
No. No, they were
not. So they're, like, out.
Yeah. I saw it definitely. The
it was very funny how they edited all the silence when they were on that boat ride up until the dolphin conversation came up.
Yeah.
And he got super excited.
Yeah. But I think I saw it that first night that they were like sleeping next to each other. It felt very, they're roommates. It felt very, we're besties. Like it did not, it was lacking that like passion.
It was. But I felt it was very cute, like how he was always making sure, you know, with her slippers, putting them, like getting them
getting
ready.
Getting a chair for her.
Yeah, getting a chair. She's just thinking about sitting down and he's already pulling out chairs and it was very cute.
That was very
so cute. So he seems very attentive and considerate and super, like a nice boyfriend or fiance or whatever.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I feel like it just ended so suddenly.
Yeah, but I mean, there must be something.
I thought that was just going to be a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, she was just expressing her concerns, her feelings.
No, he was looking for an out, I think, because you saw him scrolling on his phone, like we said. Like he.
How
was
annoying is that?
I cannot stand it. I don't know what I would do if I was, like, moving into a new apartment with Victor and, like, he was just, like, on his phone scrolling, I'd be like, get up and help, first of all. Or, like, like, I'm talking to you.
Right.
What do you mean you're on your phone the entire time? Like, that's weird. And I would never do that to him either. Like, for a pivotal moment, like, we're moving in together.
Or breaking up.
Oh, my God. I don't even know
what I would do. And she's, like, crying and he's just... And then he says something about like, all right, just give me a hug so there's no beef.
That's why I'm like, it's giving besties. Like, it's giving roommates. Yeah. Like, it's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She deserves more.
Oh, 100%.
I think he's just not able to give her any.
But here's the thing I see a lot, and this might ruffle some feathers, but a lot of my friends that grew up in a church, not necessarily just Christian, when they connect with someone solely on a spiritual experience, then a lot of the time they project the rest of what they want on that person because they've been taught that like when you meet your person, you're going to have that aligned purpose with God together.
Yeah.
You're going to have a mission that aligns. But it's like sometimes that's not enough. And a lot of the time they are disappointed when they do end up realizing, oh, our personalities actually don't match the way that we thought. I thought that was kind of interesting, though, to show that like sometimes you can have a really aligned purpose and have a life of service and have a shared mission in this life. That doesn't mean that you're romantically compatible.
Right.
You know, it might feel really good, though. But ultimately, it's not enough.
Yeah.
But I think in general, people project a lot in the pods.
Oh, yeah.
They can't see that person.
I know.
They kind of just are talking to themselves with another person there.
Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to paint this perfect picture of yourself. Oh, like, God, oh, no, yeah. No, I'm not that way. I always do this. I'm very active. You know, you can talk a lot of talk, but then when it comes to being together and living the things that you said you were going to do.
Right.
And like she said, Brittany, everything that he had said, she wasn't like feeling it.
New to having the cameras on them too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're a little bit more self-conscious about what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it's like they're just looking directly into a camera basically.
I know. That must be so tough.
Mm-hmm. But another thing is like person one is like, so are you close with your family? And then the guy will be like, yeah, I love my family. Mm-hmm. And then to the producer, she's like, I can just feel an immediate connection because I also love my family. So I just know that he's the one for me. Girl, what? What is he supposed to say? No, I hate my family. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to say that in front of the cameras.
I know.
Or like, what religion are you? I'm a form of Christian. She's like, I can definitely feel like our purpose is aligned. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, That's the only thing that you've said is that you both go to church. Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean that you're on the same page with all of it. It's so interesting.
It is.
Or it's like, crazy. They grew up playing sports, so I feel like they would be a really good coach for our kids. Girl, what? Let's take a step back. He doesn't even want to put a condom on.
I know. Oh, my God.
You're going to have that kid tomorrow.
Not a good sport.
You ready?
What did you think about the conversation that AD and Sarah Ann had?
Oh, I liked that AD. I know a lot of people are upset with her.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think what Sarah Ann did was like on the caliber of like sleeping with somebody's man, because ultimately she gave him an option to turn her down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she was like showing up. But I think it is weird that they showed up at the same place, same time. But that's a different conversation. But I think AD saying like, okay, but like I read it and you did say the door was open.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was just holding her accountable. Yeah. And then Sarah Ann was flustered as hell.
She was like, I feel like this is an interrogation or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, that's on you.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Is it though?
Yeah, it is. That's so funny.
Oh my God. But I think we are a little bit more like AD in this regard where we're just like, if our friends are being played or is like something, we're going to be like, definitely. We're going to tell it like it is. It's like,
oh, yeah.
That's weird.
That does not fly.
What Sarah Ann did wasn't like evil, but it's weird. It's weird. It's not the same thing as like sending him a nude or something, but it is weird.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, like she's given Jeremy the opportunity. Like she's not saying, I want you come over, but she's saying the door is open.
Yeah.
Which is like, she's giving him the opportunity to turn her down, but it's just like weird. There's a different way she could have said that, but I think what AD did was good. But I could tell she had been drinking a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're always drunk on that show.
Those gold cups, they're getting them.
Oh my gosh,
they're getting got by these gold cups. They are just sloppy, and these gold cups are really. They're the main character of the show at this point.
Love is wine, you know?
Love is wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and it was also very interesting when Laura and Jeremy had that conversation finally at that party.
They hadn't spoken for like 3 days or something.
I know. Yeah, she really wanted to like have a conversation. And I feel like he was doing the same thing that he had done previous. He was very standoffish, very closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something about like, can we just put this aside? Like, I just want to have a nice time here with my friends and stuff. What?
And she's like, you just ended your engagement.
Yeah, she said, why is that your priority?
Why is that your priority? Yeah, I think it shows that he just doesn't care about
her. He doesn't care about her. He's not in love with her. He doesn't want to marry her, so.
And also he's like, you're mean. And it's like, well, she's being mean because you are being a jackass. Yeah. You're being disrespectful.
She's
hurt. Could she have maybe used better words? Probably, but I relate to her a little bit where I'm like, and when I saw her crying, I was like, there it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Finally, it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really interesting that he's like, she's being mean to me and I did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wah.
But what did you think about Trevor and Chelsea having that conversation?
I think it was fair because Jamie and Jess had a conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think Trevor and Chelsea were just kind of like joking about it. But I'm like, this is not really joking, is it? Mm-hmm. Trevor, I like that Trevor asked her if I had gone first.
Yeah, and she was again, like, as he did in the pods.
And she was like, no, I don't know. I don't think so. And then she's like, I don't want to talk about it. Mm. Mm. Interesting. Yeah,
I think she just said yes to the one that asked first.
If she had not known that Jess and Jimmy were a thing, mm-hmm. I don't think she would have maybe done it either. Because I think her competitiveness kicked in when yeah. she realized that Jess was on. Because she's like, Jess is the hotter one. Mm-hmm. Jess, you know, has her shit together. And she's like, I feel like she's very competitive and she's seeking validation.
That's what I think also. I think she was saying yes because maybe she was afraid of, if I say no to him, maybe I'll just, you know, not end up with anyone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she didn't want to miss out on that.
Definitely.
She wasn't necessarily saying yes to him. Mm-hmm. She was just kind of saying yes to someone, right. you know? But yeah,
it's crazy. I would love to see this show with a different type of cast. For example, I would love it if there was like somebody who was in a wheelchair mm-hmm. or somebody who like just to really see like, you know, but then again, it's like maybe the person in a wheelchair wants someone who would be okay with that. You know, it's like,
yeah. There's a lot Have of conversations. You seen Love is Blind Brazil?
No, not yet.
Okay. Brazil. So there's one there that has, that's like has a deformation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a birth defect or mm-hmm. something. Oh, interesting. And
there's a lot of parents on there.
Yeah. A lot of parents. That makes sense. Yeah. If they did it in Iceland, everyone would be a parent.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But they did also Love is Blind Sweden, which was very fun.
People were saying that the Swedish version was really different than the American version just yeah. because in Nordic culture, getting married is not as much of a validating right. social thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, like.
I feel like a lot definitely. Of people here in Iceland related more to that.
Sweden? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that, but I should.
Yeah.
Sverige.
And Brazil.
Brazil. Mm-hmm. I love Brazilians.
Yeah.
They're so hot and fun mm-hmm. and cool.
I recommend you watch that.
Yeah. That's next on my list for mm-hmm. sure. Okay. Well, thanks for chatting with me about Love is Blind.
My pleasure.
And Saga has a sex toy store that is very fun. You may have heard me mention it before. I worked there for what, like 2 years or something. It's called Loste. Mm-hmm. You can go to loste.is to check it out. She's on Instagram at loste.is there too.
Yes, indeed.
And I have a very fun episode with her coming up about owning a sex toy store. What is it like to operate a sex toy store? Mm-hmm. And we answer some fun little listener questions about sex toys, relationships, sex, the whole thing.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang. So yeah, anything you want to leave my little listeners with?
I'm just excited for next Wednesday.
Yeah.
To see how this all plays out.
Me too.
Let's see who's getting married. And yeah, that's all for now.
You can leave a little comment on Spotify with your predictions or on my newsletter and let us know what do you think. Let us know if you agree with some of our takes or disagree. Who was your favorite couple? Let us know. You can check out the links in my description to support the podcast and get yourself a little treat. I have a discount code with Unbound and a discount code with Fur Grooming Products on any product, and you can use this code as many times as you want. They're both BBIRNA, so check that out. Thank you for listening, and I'm sending you all my love this week from Reykjavik, Iceland.
Bless, bless.
Bless, bless.